I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. Brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, when they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, when they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised he'd open all of heaven. Brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, when they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. Thank you, my God and King. Bless your name. Praise you. Worship and adore you. Glory, my God and King. Thank you for this place, for your spirit. Love and worship you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. You may be seated. Let's sing chorus number 181, Jesus Got a Hold of My Life. Praise him. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. He got into my heart, he got into my soul. Used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. He got into my heart, he got into my soul. Used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. He got into my heart, he got into my soul. Used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. He got into my heart, he got into my soul. Used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God. God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God. Heavenly places, what a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God. Heavenly places, what a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God. Heavenly places, what a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Thank you for your love, your hope, your peace. Bless your name, my God. Love you with all my heart and soul. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. It's good to be here tonight. Let's sing chorus number 293. There is going to be a meeting in the air.
There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I want to meet you over there, in that home beyond the skies. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Will be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I want to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I want to meet you over there, in that home beyond the skies. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air.
You, Lord Almighty, glory, my God, praise you, adore you. Come quick, O Lord, love you with all heart, mind, and might. Praise you.
Amen. Jocelyn will come up. We have a song for you tonight.
I just want to tell my God how thankful I am to be here tonight. It's so awesome to be at church in the middle of the week, and I just love His sweet spirit that I feel here. And the song we're going to sing tonight is called All Things New, and there's a line in it that says, you know, He holds us all together in His hands, and all we have to do is surrender all that we are, and He is there for us, and He's an answer to our prayers, and He's so mighty and so worthy to be praised, and I just love Him so much tonight, and I just ask that you just worship with us as we sing.
I've heard you can take what's broken and make it whole again. Well, here's the pieces of my heart. What can you do with them? 'Cause I can't hold them all together.
I will rise up, out of darkness to the light. I will rise up, rise up, all things new. You make all things new. God of mercy and love, do what only you can do, and make
all things,
you make all things new. Love and adore you. Thank you, Jesus, your spirit, your word. Love you. Praise your holy name. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah.
Let's sing chorus number 21, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden."
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your book upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Praise you, Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise and adore you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing our last chorus tonight before we hear from the Word of God. Chorus number 63, "He is fair."
He is fairer than the lily of the valley. He is brighter than the morning star. He is purer than the snow, fresher than the breeze, lovelier by far than all of these. He is fairer than the lily of the valley. He is brighter than the morning star. He is purer than the snow, fresher than the breeze, lovelier by far than all of these. He is fairer than the lily of the valley. He is brighter than the morning star. He is purer than the snow, fresher than the breeze, lovelier by far than all of these. He is fairer than lily of the valley. He is brighter than the morning star. Than the breeze, lovelier by far than all of these. My Lord and King, praise your name. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Will you stand with me tonight for the Word of God?
Welcome, everyone. What a precious spirit I feel in this place tonight. I hope you've all had a great week. Welcome to those who are joining us online. Thank you for joining us. Though I know you're not here with us in body, I know you're here with us in spirit. You know what a precious place God has brought us to. He started this church over 40 years ago. And he called two people here who answered that call from Jesus. These two people wanted only to have a people that wanted the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And wanted to be able to grow in God and grow in that love of God. Fortunately for us, they heard that call. They answered that call. They came to this place. They came here in faith, knowing that all they had to do was come to this place, that Jesus would provide not only a building to join together in, but that he would gather a people that had that same desire that they did. And here we are many years later. Many of us were not even born in Alaska. But God gathers those who have a hunger and have a desire for that truth. What a precious gift he's given us in this place that he's given us to come to. We're going to go to Acts chapter 13 again tonight. Hopefully you've had a chance to dig into this treasure that awaits us. You know, every time I look into this word and dig into it, there's always something more to gain from it. Another jewel of wisdom, another piece of gold that gives me more understanding and insight into who God is, what God is, and what he wants from me. We're going to read verses in chapter 13. We're going to read verses 6 through 12. So Acts 13, verses 6 through 12. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So our questions here tonight. Question 7, we see here a Jew who tried to turn someone away from seeking the truth and was called a false prophet. So the two questions, what is a false prophet? And do we see false prophets still today? So hopefully you've had a chance to look into this. And Jocelyn, are you ready to be first? I see your hand is up. You too? Okay.
Okay. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And if we read farther down, it talks about how they don't have good fruits. So you can tell a false prophet by, like, if they're, like, having a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And it says, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So we need to just guard our heart and recognize the false prophets. And yes, I do believe that there are false prophets today, people that don't have maybe the light inside them, but they kind of pretend they do, and we have to watch out.
Yes, thank you. Pastor Buck, did you have an answer for us? Okay. Shall I relinquish this? Yes. You just want to come up here and take over?
Can I? Oh, I'm sorry. My mind just runs over when I think about false prophets and the things and the demonic lectures they give out and the false beliefs that they put in people's minds and hearts, leaving them thinking that they're right with God when they haven't even met God. They don't know anything about God. There are some that teach us so vaguely and so sinisterly that it's sometimes it's hard to separate the two between the bad and the good. And then there's others that are so far out that you spot them in a moment who they are and what they're doing. I've heard preachers that at times when I was listening to them, I would think, I would wish I could preach like that. I mean, I know one in particular that he was, as far as his speech went, it was great. His scriptures he used were good scriptures and so forth. But then he turned it all around and made it into nothing, that it didn't really count this much. It didn't mean that much. It didn't have to do this. It just destroyed everything he said. But when he finished, the entire audience, and they must have been at least 500 there, they just clapped and shouted and jumped up and down it was just disgusting. The falseness and the lies that he told these people to believe and not to believe. You don't have to do everything the Bible says. God don't expect you to be perfect. We all sin every day. Well, I sin every single day. You know? That man needs help bad. I mean, he does. Anybody that can say they sin every single day, there's got to be something wrong with them, or they don't have anything with God, period. But I get really tangled up in all the things that I want to say about these false prophets. There are hundreds of them out in the audiences today, and they deceive so many people because some of them say things that people want to hear. They want to believe that. They want to feel that, well, they're not all that bad. They're not as bad as somebody else. God don't expect his perfection from us. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want that. But it's all right if you do this. It's just on and on and on. Just sentence after sentence, book after book, telling people things that they don't need to do or they do need to do or whatever. And none of it is scriptural. None of it has Bible basings to it. They just hold the Bible up and bang it with their hand, you know, and say, this word it says this, and this word says that, but they don't read it out of there. They never preach what it says in there. I've heard some that when I first heard them preaching, a couple of them I remember, they were so so perfect in what they said and the way they put it and everything. I thought, man, I would wish I could do that. That would be, if I could preach like that, I would be, I'd be gloriously happy. But then they led right off into the nothing, down into the valley of the damned, you might say, that lets you with no hope whatsoever, because all you do is just your best, and God accepts everything else. He's tenderhearted, he loves you dearly, and it doesn't matter what you do, everybody sins. Nobody, it just constantly on things that is not so, that is not real, that's not from the scripture.
It's so important, isn't it, Bach, that we...
I just get tangled up with it. And there's so many that I want to bring out their names and so forth about it, but I'd be here the rest of the night if I did. It's predominant. False teachings, teachers are predominant. Those that give out lies and tell you stories that you want to hear are predominant. We stay with the Bible. We read the scriptures in the Bible the way it's written. We don't change them out. We don't stretch out through the thing. We don't leave parts out. We take the Bible as it is written. God knows exactly what he was doing when he allowed that to be printed out. He doesn't give us a fairy tale book that we just look at and we don't have to believe any of it. Just do the best you can. We all do the best that we can. And before we ever came to God, we did things that we hated ourselves for. And why did we do those things? Why did I say this? Why did I go there? Why? I don't want to be that way, but I can't seem to help it. Well, you really can. If you're not born again in the Spirit, you can't help it. You don't want to be that way, but Satan has you in the palm of his hand doing what he wants to do with you. And the only hope that you have is to call on the King of Kings and ask for forgiveness and really turn your life over to him. Not just go to church on Sunday once in a while and say a 2 minutes prayer that you think that God will hear this if I say these words exactly the way that the fella told me to say it. It is such an easy thing to find forgiveness and gratitude to you and happiness in your life if you give your life to God. But you can't just throw him a piece here and a piece there and think, well, that's good enough. He'll be satisfied if he gets that. It's terrible. It's terrible. And there are many, many false prophets out there. You can turn your TV set on and you can see at least a dozen, one right after the other, telling a bunch of false lies.
So what I'm seeing here, Pastor Bach, is that what's so important to us is that we as a people know God's word.
Absolutely.
Understand God's word.
Yes.
So that if someone does come to us or we're witnessing to somebody and they're trying to bring you another doctrine, another gospel, you're grounded. You have the words of God in your heart and in your mind so that you can't be deceived. Because if you don't know this word, when I first received the Holy Ghost and started witnessing to people, there's people out there that knew the Bible really well, and I was new to this. I had never studied the Bible. I had to back up and go, okay, well, I'm going to have to go look that up. But the more time and effort we dig into this word and seek out the truths that are in this word of God, and as long as we start with that full gospel, and that's our foundation, we can't go wrong. Amen. Anyone else want to add? Do you have something, Ron?
Jocelyn touched on it a bit there, but in Matthew 24:22, it says, false prophets and false Christ shall arise and shall show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. And that very elect is us. And that's as we learned last night in the search for truth, Satan is very cunning, very good with his words and wisdom.
Yes.
And it is, he does present things in a way that unless you're really watching out, you can be deceived, so be careful.
Amen. Anyone else? Tracy, thank you. Right up here.
I just was thinking along with what you said, Randy, knowing the Word of God so that you can't be deceived, but also being full of that Spirit.
Amen.
Spirit bears witness when you're around someone. You can, if you're full of that Holy Spirit, you can feel if it's from God or not from God.
Amen. Praise God for that Spirit He puts in us. Rick, right back. You know where Rick's at, right back there. Thank you. Got to have the Spirit. It's a must.
One of the scriptures I was thinking of, and Tracy just mentioned the same thing, but 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we know the difference. The Spirit of God bears witness. And so, yeah, praise Him for that.
Amen. Someone else? Janet, thank you.
I really liked what Buck said about how false prophets can be really subtle, and it made me think about what we talked about last night in Bible study about how Satan doesn't usually say, God didn't say, but he says, did God really say? And as a young person in the world, it's really, I talk to people all the time who say, but God didn't really say that you can't do this or that, or when we're talking and witnessing something to them, God really didn't say that you have to do this, when it's like, I'm giving them scriptures, I'm like, well, he did, because it says it in the Bible he did. So I think it's really easy as a really young person to be out in the world and have pastors and have spiritual peers be telling you that you don't have to do what God says because that was only applicable back then, or just all that stuff. It's coming out so much more in this modern world than it was back in the day.
Amen. These false prophets and these false teachers quite often use the Word of God to try and trip us up. Did not Satan use the Word of God when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? But Jesus answered with the Word of God. So you not only need to say have them memorized, but seek for that understanding. Go to Him if you don't understand something, and go to His Word, and His Spirit will reveal it unto you. I looked up the Greek definition of a false prophet, and it says they're a pretend foreteller, a religious imposter. Some of the attributes that I looked up that I got out of the scriptures was what they're saying, number one, is untrue, according to God's Word. They're deceitful. They're wicked. What they say is false. They are liars. We don't want to be deceived, do we? We've come too far. Maybe some of you are just starting, but God will lead us and God will guide us. And the only thing I can think of is if He's showing this to us now, obviously, because we've had this over the years, we've had different ones try to come bring in their own ideas and their own thoughts. But we need to be prepared to give an answer and to not be deceived, because there's a lot of false teachers and false prophets out there. A couple of the scriptures, let's turn to Matthew 7 and read 15 through 20. I think that's where Jocelyn went. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. This is what Jocelyn was saying. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Does he not tell us that when it comes time for him to reap the harvest, they're going to know who is the ones who are filled and following, filled with the Holy Ghost and have these fruits, because they're going to be bent over, heavy laden. The others are going to be what they call tares, no fruits. They're just standing up there spouting the words, but there's no fruit to show that they really are one of God's. Verse 17, even so every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. The other scripture I won't turn to, but I believe it's the one Ron read, is Matthew 24, chapter 24 and verse 24. So the next one we're going to turn to is we are going to turn to Deuteronomy. Went into some Old Testament scriptures about false prophets. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And if any of you looked this up, you probably found the same thing I did. There's a lot of scriptures in Old Testament talking about false prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 5. Starting in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. First clue, they're turning, trying to get you to do things that you know, Janie touched on it, to do things that you know are sin. Okay, one of the very simplest things, because we know our foundation is the gospel, right? The death, the burial, the resurrection. I can talk to a lot of people, and quite most often they call themselves Christians. And most of them will agree with me, repentance, turn away from your sin. Most of them, for the most part, will agree that you need to be fully immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ, because by no other name, there is no other name under heaven. Jesus is the one who gave his life. He was the perfect sacrifice. No other name can wash away your sins. That's just the beginning of our gospel, our foundation. And then we have to receive the Holy Ghost. So I can get a lot of people I can get to agree with me, repentance and baptism. But then most of the time, the way they're taught or the way they understand is the gift of the Holy Ghost that we read about in this book of Acts, in the day of Pentecost. They say it was for then. And maybe you've run into that yourself. That's the foundation. You and I both know, those of us that have received the Holy Ghost, we know, as hard as we might try, until we receive the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, our old nature would take control of us. Amen. I mean, maybe to a point, you're a person you can control certain things, but it's going to catch up to you. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. But it's a free gift, is it not? It's a free. Why wouldn't you want it? Why would you say, well, that was for back then? And then you tell them, how many of them have went back and searched it out and sought God for themselves? I don't know that I've said. It's for you. It's not just for them. You need this power of the Holy Spirit inside of you for you to be able to overcome sin. That's the holiness. That's the holiness. The holiness comes from God's Spirit. The holiness does not come from within us. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 16. Anyone have anything to add at this point before we read this next scripture? No? Okay. If I don't see you, jump up and down or something. Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures out of this. I read the whole chapter, but I just picked out four scriptures. Jeremiah 23, we're going to read verse 16, and then we'll go to 21 and 22 and 32. We'll start in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. False prophets, false teachers. They're leaning to their own understanding. Number one, if they're false, they don't have the Spirit of God, do they? They're not led by the Spirit of God. So where are they getting their understanding from? Man's wisdom, man's understanding. Didn't we learn that last week about the ruler? He was a prudent man, which meant he was a very wise man, but his wisdom came from the world. Fortunately, he seems to have listened after seeing a miracle that, hey, what you're saying is true. Let's go to verses 21 and 22. I have not sent these prophets, these false prophets and teachers you run into. God did not send them, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But false prophets don't. They lean to their own understanding. Verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Up here he says, they cause my people to err. There's always been false prophets. There's always been false teachers. But fortunately, there's always been the truth that has been available to us as well. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Some of these scriptures you probably have gone to. One I'm going to turn to in Galatians here in a minute is one that we've heard many times. So 2 Peter chapter 2. We're just going to read verses 1 through 4 and then skip over to verse 12 and read through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 4. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. I read that, and I've been here long enough to have seen it happen even here. People that have come amongst our congregation and began trying to lead some away according to their own understanding. Fortunately, we have always had pastors, deacons, elders, teachers that have not allowed this to take root in our congregation. We may be few right now, but we are the ones who are standing fast in the truth, in the power of God's Spirit. Amen. And the power that we gain is not just in numbers. The power that we gain is our being in one mind and one accord with God. Because if we are, then we're in one mind and one accord with one another. And nobody can stop us if we're led by God's Spirit. Okay, to continue on here, I'm just going to start again at the top on verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable hearsays, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through the covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to reserved unto judgment. We know these false teachers and these false prophets, they don't care about you. They don't care about your soul. They're just trying to either gain power over you, maybe they want your money. They're just people that seek that. They want to control you. I want, and our leaders and our pastors want, God to control you. Amen. We don't want to control you. We want to just share this truth, give you this truth, give you this understanding, so that God is the one that's controlling you. Because if God is controlling you, you will live that holy, righteous life. You will not, God's Spirit won't lead you into sin. He won't do that. He's holy. He's cleaned you out when you were baptized in Jesus' name. You are a clean vessel. And now that precious Spirit can come inside of you. Starting in verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart. On heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This beguiling unstable souls. I guess the best natural example I can think of that, because he calls them a wolf in sheep's clothing or a lion. There's a herd, there's a people. It's the weak ones, that are out on the outer limits. They're not in here with us. They're not standing fast, strong with us. They're drifting away from truth. They're starting to do things that they know aren't what God wants you to do. Little sin is sin. I mean, if you lie, that's a sin, right? We obviously know murder is a sin, right? Murder is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. Lying is a sin. There's little things like that you don't want to get caught up on. You don't want to allow yourself to be beguiled, as it says here in verse 14. You don't want to be one of these souls that is beguiled. Let's go back down to verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass, speaking of Balaam, the prophet. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These, if you want to know about him, you look it up. It's quite a story. Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried away with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And when they speak great swelling words of vanity, Buck touched on this, good orator, good speaker, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of a man, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. This is verse 19. Let me read that again. For of whom a man or a woman is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Tells us in Romans chapter 6. Are we to live in sin? Does he call us out of sin to continue into sin? He doesn't. He calls us out of sin, and with the power of his name, that precious name of Jesus, and his Holy Spirit that he puts in us, he gives us the power to overcome sin. He doesn't expect you to be perfect right away. I mean, it takes time. The Apostle Paul said he fought daily. He died daily. That old nature is still there. It's still, the roots are there. You got to keep them under control. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter rain is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. We don't want to allow these false teachers and prophets to deceive us. Search God's word, seek God's word, know God's word, stay full of the Holy Spirit, and you won't be deceived. You won't be one of those that is deceived and goes back into the world. There again, we've had hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the past 40 years come through here. Look what's still here. Just think about it. But guess what? We're here, and we have learned that if we grow in the love of Jesus Christ, and if we abound in the love of Jesus Christ, and we stay united in one mind and one accord, not only will we stay strong, but there will be those that will see the difference, know and understand the difference, and it will draw them in. If you're going to draw somebody here, you don't want to draw them here by telling them a story. Just tell them the truth. Just share your truth with them, and it will draw them in. Let's turn to, I guess I won't turn to it because Ron read one of the scriptures, but just so you know what it was, 1 John 4:1-7 was one of them that we turned to. We're going to turn next to Galatians chapter 1. This is one of those that I know we've heard many, 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 many times. We're just going to read verses 6 through 8. Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 8. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Obviously, there was a situation here in this church at Galatia, probably a very young church. Maybe they didn't have the leadership they needed there yet that had grown enough to take control of this. So Paul had to write this letter to them. They were being turned away to another gospel, which is verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Stand fast on that gospel. We know and we understand that is our foundation that we build on. We're born with that. We're given the power, says John tells us, we are given the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. Do you ever think that you'd hear them, those words when you were growing up before you came to God, that you would be a son or a daughter of the Almighty God, the creator of all heaven and earth? Most of us thought, too bad. I know what I've done. I know the sins that I've committed, and he's going to forgive that. We're getting close to resurrection, and oh, what a precious story it is. It hurts, and it makes you cry to see the suffering that he suffered on that day. But the glory that he went through it for the glory that waited on the other side. We don't want to take for granted that precious gift, that sacrifice that he made. Couple of questions here. Want me to read verse 9? In verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. These questions, you don't have to answer these. I'm just going to throw this out here. Maybe you have an answer or not. Do we need, it's really straightforward, do we need to be concerned about false prophets? Yes. Do we need to beware of false teachers? Yes. So what are the repercussions for us as individuals and as a body of believers if we allow false prophets and false teachers to start leading us astray? We're going to fall really fast, aren't we? The glue that binds us together, that Spirit of God, that love of God, it will wash away quickly. And there were several scriptures. I'm about ready to run out of time. Does anybody have any more comments before? Claudette, please. Over here. Thank you. I'm getting close to the end here.
Well, just a short one. I mean, when you're trying to look at someone who's telling you this or that, when it says that you'll know them by their fruits, you know, they have to produce a result from what it is that they're saying or doing. And if they're not doing that, you know, you can see that. You can see that they don't have any evidence of, you know, if say it was a church and they, you know, they were preaching things and, you know, and nothing becomes of it. You can see that there is no fruit of their labor. And so, you know, I think this is a good thing to teach because it, you know, there's a lot of fine lines there that would be easily crossed, you know, in this world today. You know, everybody thinks everything is okay. And so, you know, I think the only protection you have is to know the Word of God and what it says. And then, you know, with that Spirit, use the discernment that you need to, you know, to figure out who is really telling the truth.
Amen. We have to beware of people that are hypocrites, that are evildoers. You know, they're full of lies and they give false hopes and they're very crafty. If they're led by Satan, they're like they were like this gentleman here in that we're looking at in Acts the 13th chapter. I was thinking about this gentleman, this sorcerer. He was a Jew in this court. You know why he was against it? Well, obviously he was against it because he wasn't for God, but he had a place in the court with the governor. The governor receives the Holy Ghost. Guess what's going to happen to his job? That place in the court. That governor gets filled with the Holy Ghost. He's going to know that he's from Satan. He's going to be fired. He's going to lose his. And a lot of these false teachers, they're in it for self. I mean, what else are they going to gain from it? They're not gaining anything from God. It's what can they gain, whether it's things or power or money. That's what false teachers are. That's not God's way. That's not God's leadership. It's all about, I said earlier, it's all about us gaining from God and getting closer to God and allowing God to control us. Let's turn to a scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, this isn't talking about so much the false prophets. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This thrilled me to read this. This is about us. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that had obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God for that. Called us out of sin, not to live in our sin, but by the power of His Spirit in us to overcome sin and be the holy, righteous bride that He's waiting for. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacks these things, who lacks these things? The false teachers, the false prophets. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We see it happen, those who have left us. Don't ever forget what life was like without God, living in sin, and what He's done for you. You won't want to go back. You see it in the world. You see what's out there. If you go anywhere, you see it. And you should, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. We will never, ever fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that not what we seek? That precious, but it's going to take effort and work and digging into this word. Amen. I want to read one last scripture in closing tonight. Zechariah, it's one of the minor prophets. Zechariah, verse 13:9. It's just one scripture, but I liked what it had to say. Zechariah 13, verse 9. I know it's our, I thought it was very interesting. We're teaching the younger class, Theresa and I, and we got ready to start going to scriptures, and all three of them wanted to get a Bible, Stella, Abigail, Isaiah, and they wanted to follow along. I thought that was pretty amazing. And of course, we're going to different scriptures. It's hard for them to find. So we need to get them Bibles that have the, you know, the little tabs that shows you where the books are at. It'll make it easier for them. They'll learn eventually. They're growing up. These children are hungering and thirsting for knowledge and understanding of God's Word. That touches me. I mean, you never really know for sure in what I'm teaching, getting through to them. But when they want to follow along and they want to read it for themselves, false prophet, false teacher, they don't want you going to the Bible. You're going to find out that they're just telling you lies. It's just so precious to see them growing in just a very simple little thing, just wanting to know that what we're reading to them as teachers isn't just us telling them stories. That's how we know and understand who God is if we know and search the scriptures for ourselves. Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Can he not say that about us tonight? I hope so. That we are his people, and that we say, the Lord Jesus Christ is our God. Will the musicians come up tonight? And I'll just say a few things in closing. That just what's so important here again and we've read it here, the gospel. We need that foundation. And once you've got that foundation, build on that. Let God's Spirit guide you. This is like a treasure map. I was thinking about this lately. This is like a treasure map. And there's not just one X on the map. Wherever you go, there's precious jewels and gold and silver waiting. But if we don't put forth the effort, if we don't search it out, if we don't go to that map, we won't find those precious gems of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Be hungry. Be hungry and seek out all these precious treasures that await you. Thank you for your attention.
This altar's open. Won't you come tonight?
Want to live the way He wants me to live. Want to give until there's just no more to give. Want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. Want to live the way He wants me to live. Want to give until there's just no more to give. To love, love till there's just no to give until to give until there's just no more to give. Want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never ever outlove the Lord. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel along. For I'm part of the family, the family. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel along. For I'm part of the family, the family. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel along. For I'm part of the family, the family. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel.